This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Title of my series of this month is Jesus Revolution. And Jesus needs to make a revolution in our lives. Amen. And you believe that today? And so we're focusing on the person of Jesus through the series. And hopefully you're getting a greater revelation of who Jesus is. And I believe as you continue to get a deeper revelation of Jesus, it's going to strengthen your faith. It's going to help you in your walk with Christ. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I need all the help that I can get in my walk with God. Amen? And knowing what Jesus has gone through and what he's went through, if Jesus made it, we can make it. Yes. I'm going to say that again. If Jesus made it, you can say, well, that's Jesus. Of course, he's going to make it. Yeah, but Jesus had to depend on the Holy Spirit while he was down here. And so I'm going to say this. If you're going to make it, you have to depend on the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're not making it by yourself. Amen. See, that's what the devil will try to tell you. You're all by yourself. You're not by yourself. God is with you, the hope of glory. So you're not by yourself. You could be single. Amen. But if you have Jesus in your life, you got the Holy Ghost, you got all that you need. Amen. Say, I have all that I need. Amen. And I like this scripture that we've been going with all month. And, you know, it's the Apostle Paul. And, you know, Paul had all these great revelations of Jesus. And Paul, I really believe, knew who he was in Christ. And Paul knew a lot of things. He was a very educated man, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had a higher education. And I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2, our foundation scripture says, and I, brethren, this is Paul speaking, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Paul was saying, Paul knew a lot of things about God. He knew a lot of things about the Torah, about the Old Testament, about the laws and the rules. But he said that really the main thing, somebody say the main thing, is to know about Jesus. Amen. That should be our main thing. Jesus should be the main thing in our life. And I like what the Message translation and the Message says, I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First, Jesus, who he is, then Jesus, what he did, and Jesus crucified. I love that. And so Paul had a desire to know Jesus. And I believe we're going to continue to get a revelation of Jesus even after we go by this life. We're going to get a revelation of Jesus in the sweet by and by who he is. And God's going to keep revealing more and more truth about the love of Jesus. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen. And I love this. And Jesus, you know, he laid down his God power when he was in heaven. He came down here to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he had to live down here. I call him the God-man. He was 100% God, 100% man, but he laid down his God power and allowed the Holy Spirit to lead and guide him. Amen? And I love this because he was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit to walk in victory in this life. And you are people anointed by the Holy Spirit to walk in victory.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what it looks like in your life or what you're going through. You can walk in the victory because Jesus walked in the victory. And he showed us how to do that. And in Hebrews 2, 17 and 18, it says, therefore, in all things he had been made like his brethren, talking about Jesus, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are being tempted. So I love this. So this passage is saying that Jesus had humanity. Jesus walked down here. He got tired. He felt all the pains that we feel. And the Bible says, there's another scripture said that Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That means that Jesus knows what we're going through all the time. Amen? I love that. And so I really believe that as we study the life of Jesus, who he is, what he has done, we're going to be empowered to walk that same victorious life because Jesus is a victor and we can become victors too. I believe that Jesus, you know, paid the price so that we could walk that victorious life. And that high life is revealed in 2 Peter 1:4. And 2 Peter 1:4 says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Somebody say, I have great, precious promises. And Peter says, through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So here, Peter is saying that we can become partakers of the divine nature. I love that. And this is just scriptures revealing what Jesus died so that we could walk in. We can walk in that same high life that Jesus walked in. I love what it says in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Somebody say, I'm becoming more like Jesus. And that's why you're coming to the church, to become more like Jesus. I want to look like Jesus. I want to talk like Jesus. I want to do miracles like Jesus did. How many people want to do the same thing? And you can, because Jesus is in heaven praying for us. Amen? Last week we talked about Jesus as our miracle worker. Somebody say, Jesus is my miracle worker. And when we found out that Jesus just did not do miracles back then, 2,000 years ago, he's still doing miracles today. Amen. Somebody say, I believe that. Amen. Jesus is not the savior of I was. He's the savior of I am. So he's not the I was. The scriptures that talk about Jesus' miracles is not just for us to gleam off of and to just get inspired by them. Yes, or have a good teaching of them. No, it's for us to learn and walk in them. And I love this, what it says in Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. Amen. I love that. And so we got to believe that. Say, I believe that. And I love what it says in Mark 9:23. It says, Jesus was speaking to somebody that looked like he was dealing with an impossible situation. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Somebody say, I'm a believer. Amen. And today I want to focus my message today that Jesus is your shepherd. Somebody say, Jesus is my shepherd. You got to get a revelation of that he is your shepherd. Amen. And I love what it says in John 10:10. It says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And then I love what it says right after that. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. So Jesus is the good shepherd, amen? And I love that. And you know, the Bible talks about this, that the church is revealed in different ways. Number one, the church is revealed as a family, amen? The church is not just an institution or as an organization. We are family. Amen. We our family. And Pastor, you're having too much fun up here. Amen. And we are family. And so we're not just an organization. I love what Jesus, he was doing the will of God. His family members came to try to get him to talk to him while he was ministering. And Jesus says in Matthew 12, 48 and 50, but he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. So doing the will of God brings you into the family of God, and you become sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are a family, glory to God. I like what it says in Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. So really, when we get to heaven, when we go by this world and we go to heaven, it's going to be a family reunion. Amen. Do you believe that? And we're going to be coming to our relatives that had gone on before us, amen, and they're going to meet us at the pearly gates. You believe that? And it's going to be family, glory to God. Amen. God loves family. Amen. And we need to love our family, glory to God. We need to love our church, amen. And so I love that. So the church, number one, is a family. Number two, the church is a fellowship. Someone asked, what is a fellowship? That's two fellows in a ship. No. A fellowship, glory to God, somebody needs to rewrite my jokes here, but a fellowship is a gathering where we come together in unity and one accord. Amen? We're in fellowship with one another. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord does. It brings unity and one accord to the body of Christ. Do you believe that today? And I love this, what it says in 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light, somebody say walk in the light. I love that. As he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we see here that fellowship is brought about by us walking in the light. So if you're walking in the light of God's word, to walk in the light of God's word is walking in his love. If you're walking in love, you're walking in obedience to God. If you're walking in obedience to God, then you're walking in the light and you're walking in fellowship. What shuts down our fellowship is sin. Amen. Can I get a witness and I'll say, when we are in sin, it not only breaks our fellowship with the Father, it breaks our fellowship with one another. Do you believe that today? So sin can shut down our fellowship with the Father and can shut down our fellowship with one another. That's why the devil loves for Christians to walk in the darkness. But if you come out of the darkness and you walk in the light of God's word, you truly will have fellowship. Because when your relationship is messed up with God, I'm going to have to say this to you. Your relationship is going to be messed up with others. Amen. Is that right? Amen. And so what is the devil trying to do? Get our relationship messed up with God, and then he's trying to mess up our relationship with others. Or if he can get us in upset with others, it's going to upset our relationship with the Father. Is that right? And so we're talking about that the church is likened to a family. The church is likened to a fellowship. The church is likened to a body. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that today? Jesus is the head, and we are the body. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all members of one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. When you got saved, you got baptized into the body of Christ. And so God is living big in you. And I love that. And it says here, For in effect, the body is not one member but many. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So Paul was writing that each one of us has a function in the body, and we're all called to do something special in the body of Christ. You believe that today? But now I want to focus on what the church is pertaining to Jesus being our shepherd, and the church is a flock. Amen? The church, somebody say the church, is a flock. I love that. So we're the flock. You are sheep, glory to God. We are, Jesus is the good shepherd. Amen. And I love that. And we need to follow Jesus. I love what it says in Psalms 103. It says, Now that the Lord, He is God, is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and we are the sheep of His pasture. Amen. So another word for shepherd is pastor. And everybody needs a pastor. Amen. I'm going to say again, if you're not in church and you don't have a pastor, then you are in trouble, glory to God. You need somebody that God uses to speak into your life. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful for my former pastor that I was raised up in this church and I served for many years before the church was turned over to me, Pastor Joe Warren. And I'm so thankful that he was my pastor. Now Pastor Hagen is my pastor from Rhema, glory to God, since Pastor Joe Warren has went to heaven. But I learned a lot of lessons from my pastor. And so it's good to have a pastor to nurture you and to help you move forward in God. God is raising up end time pastors today. Do you believe that today? And I believe the pastor is one of the most important fivefold ministries that's raised up for the body of Christ. You believe that today? So let's look at a great text here in 1 Peter 5, 2 and 4. It says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. I love that. And so here, this is an exhortation by Peter saying that pastors are not supposed to control and manipulate, but to lead and to guide. Amen. I never want to be a controlling pastor. I want to be a pastor that leads you and guides you and pushes you up. Amen. Not press you down. Amen. Glory to God. So my goal is to make you successful. My goal is to help push you up. And if you become successful, guess what happens to the pastor? I become successful. Amen. So my goal is for you to have a successful life in Christ Jesus. And that's the reason why I study and get these scriptures for you, to get you moving closer to God, to become all that God has called you to be. Now let's look at this. This is one of my favorite psalms, and we're going to look at this pertaining to God or Jesus being our shepherd. And I love this in Psalms 23, 1 and 6. Some of you might have Psalms. How many people have Psalms 23 memorized in here? Glory to God. Some of you probably have it memorized. But I love Psalms 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I love that. We can stop right now. I can drop the mic. And I shall not want. So the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. See, sometimes God needs to make you lie down. Because the flesh always wants to run. The flesh always wants to be busy. But sometimes you need that day of Sabbath rest. You need to learn to rest in the Lord. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Notice it says we walk through the valley. We're not running in terror through the valley. Amen. In other words, we're not scared in the valley. We're strolling through the valley. Why? Because God is with us. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. I love that part, that God prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. What does that mean? Whatever the devil's trying to mean negative in your life, God can turn it around and make the devil eat his words. Amen. Whatever problem the devil tries to throw in front of you, it will become your it will become the stepping stone of the promise that God has for you. You believe that? And it says here that he anoints your head with oil, your cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall dwell with you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody say, I'm never leaving the house of God. I'm not going to leave the house of God. Amen. And I love this, and I want to talk to you this morning about some attributes of a shepherd, glory to God. And Jesus says, Jesus is my shepherd. And the attributes of the shepherd is this. Number one, the shepherd provides. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I love that. In Psalms 34:10, it says, the young lions suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I love that because, you know, if you are seeking God, what is it? Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what happens when you do that? All these things are added to you. So you don't have to seek things. You just seek God. I love what it says in Matthew 6:31-33, the scriptures before that. It says, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I love that. So as Christians, the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not lack for anything. And you might be saying this morning, but Pastor, I have some lack. Yes, you might have some lack in some areas, but it's only for a short period. There's a process of receiving. Somebody say, I'm in the process of receiving. Amen. So you might have some lack in some areas, but that's only a temporary situation, and lack is leaving your life. Say, lack is leaving my life. Amen. Because Jesus is my shepherd. I love this. It says in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply some of your need. Thank you. All of your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So God supplies all of our need. And so we can walk free of need if we seek after God. So number one, the Lord provides for us. Number two, Jesus is our shepherd and he restores us. Amen. I love that. Because some of us, when we came to God, we were broken. Some of us, when we came to God, we have issues. And some of us are still dealing with some issues. Anybody dealing with any issues? Well, God wants to restore us. Amen? I love in Psalms 23:2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. So what does Jesus restore in us? I would have to say what he restores in us, because before we had Jesus in our life, I'm going to say this, the world runs on fear and anxiety. As Christians, we don't run on fear and anxiety. We run on peace and love. Amen. Do you believe that today? And so what does Jesus wants to do? He wants to restore peace in our lives. Amen. Do you believe that? And you need to receive Jesus as the restorer of your peace. Now, it may things might be rocking and rolling in your world. The devil might be trying to tip your boat over, but stay in peace, because Jesus, as long as he's in your boat cannot be tipped over. Do you believe that today? Amen. So your boat might be rocking a little bit. The storm might be brewing a little bit. But if Jesus is in your boat, hello, then you're going to be okay. Do you believe that today? In Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Somebody say, "Jesus is my Prince of Peace." I love that. So Jesus came to restore the peace in our life. Because, I'm going to say this. The world is running on pride and fear. That's what the world runs on. The Christian runs on peace and love and joy. Can somebody say joy? Because you're not going to have any joy unless you have some peace first. Peace has to come before the joy. And if you have no peace, then you don't have any joy. What's joy? J-O-Y, Jesus on you. Amen. Joy. Now, John 14, 27 says this way, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I love that. So Jesus was talking to his disciples because he was telling them he was going to the Father and that he was leaving them. But he said, "Listen, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to bring you the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit abiding in you, it's going to bring you all the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace." Amen. Do you believe that today? So we got to get that peace in our lives. Amen. And I love that. So we don't want to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What do you need to do to keep that peace? Cast all your cares on him. Cast your cares on him. He restores us. He brings peace back into our lives. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they lost the peace of God in their life. Fear came in. They ran and they hid from God. But we're not hiding from God. Somebody say, "I'm not hiding from God. I'm running to God." And so if you love God, love is a motivator that causes us to run to God. I love this because Adam and Eve lost their innocence the day that they sinned in the garden. But Jesus brought our innocence back to us. Do you believe that today? Amen. And I'm going to say this. As long as we're walking in the light, we stay innocent people of God. I love what it says in Philippians 2, 14 and 15. It says, "Do everything without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like lights in the world." So he's saying here, if you're going to walk in the innocence of the Father, you can't be grumbling and complaining. What do you need to be doing? Praising and giving glory to God. Amen. And he says that we need to be blameless and innocent children of God. What do blameless and innocent children of God do? They don't complain. They praise and give thanks to God. Amen. So we're talking to you about attributes of the shepherd. Amen. And the attributes of the shepherd is, number one, he provides. And number two, he restores. And number three, he leads. The shepherd leads. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Glory to God. We need to submit our will to God's will. when you are submitting your will to God's will, it'll be easy for the Lord to lead you. Say, not my will, but God's will. So I love that, because Jesus had to pray a prayer of consecration in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he had to pray, not my will, but thy will. Sometimes your flesh wants to go the wrong way. Have you ever wanted to go the wrong way? Your flesh, your heart always wants to do the right thing, but sometimes your flesh gets you in trouble. Amen. Is that right? But you know what? As long as you pray, the Bible says, watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus took the hard path. He took the crucifixion path so that we could walk in the blessings of God. Glory to God. Let's look at John 10, 3 and 5. This is Jesus. He says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear the voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They will not by any means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. So this passage here is revealing to us that we are God's sheep. We hear his voice and we follow him. Amen? And so we don't follow the voice of a stranger. How do you know it's a voice of a stranger? If it's not lining up with the word of God, it's the voice of a stranger. If the voice is telling you to get even, you know, when somebody does you wrong, get even with that person, then that's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. That might be the voice of your flesh. Is that right? If somebody slaps you on a cheek and the voice says, slap him back, that's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will tell you to turn the other cheek. Right? That's not easy. I'm not saying that's not even one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I try to skip over that passage. Why? Because when somebody does me wrong, I want to do them wrong. Why? That's my flesh, but my heart says, forgive them. Pray for them. Do the right things. So the shepherd leads, glory to God. Number four, the shepherd supports. Jesus is here to support us, glory to God, to strengthen us. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, verse 4, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So Jesus has a rod and a staff, and that rod is not for your head to be beat down on. That rod is to beat the devil when he tries to come against you. And that staff is there to bring you back into the fold. Amen. And so Jesus is there, and he supports us and he strengthens us. I like what it says in 2 Timothy 4:16 and 18. It says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, this is Paul, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. So here, this is Paul. Paul was in a tight situation. And the Bible said that God came to him, the Lord came to him and strengthened him in that tight situation. And he was convinced that no matter what was coming against him, that God was going to deliver him from that. And you got to be convinced, whatever the enemy is doing to come against you, whatever it is, could be a health issue, it could be a financial situation, whatever it is, that Jesus will be there to strengthen you and to support you. Glory to God. Another attribute of the shepherd is that he defends us. Amen. I love that. You don't have to defend yourself. Jesus will defend you. Do you believe that today? And I love that. So Isaiah 54:17 says this way, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So I love this. This is a promise that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and that in judgment we shall condemn. Why? Because we have the power to condemn every thing that's coming against us. Why? Because we are in Jesus. And if we are in Jesus, we are in divine protection. Amen? Do you believe that today? I love that. And number six, the shepherd blesses. Amen? Jesus wants to bless you today. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless your life. Jesus wants you walking in the blessings of God. In Psalms 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that. In Hebrews 13:20-21 says it this way, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, in whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So Jesus is going to help us walk this walk. Jesus is going to bless us in the process of us walking this walk. So today I want to encourage you to make Jesus your shepherd. Say, I'm making Jesus my shepherd. So just to recap quickly, Jesus as your shepherd, he's your provider, he's your restorer, he leads you, he supports you, he defends you, and he blesses you. Did you receive it this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are our shepherd. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are there for us no matter what. And I'm asking, Jesus, that you would just continue to bless this church abundantly. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are right now knocking on the hearts of people all around the world, people that may be listening or watching this service. And perhaps Jesus is knocking on your door of your heart, and he's asking to come in and to sup with you. And today is the day of salvation. And Jesus wants to be your shepherd. And you can invite him in today, not only to be your shepherd, but he can be your Lord and Savior. So this is the key to get saved, is to confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want to lead you in a prayer that will help you come into a relationship with Jesus so that he can be not only your shepherd, but your Lord and Savior. Say this out loud and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you were raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.